You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
It's a hot one again. It is the Gym Class here at KGYM, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here today. Great to have you aboard. Here on KGYM 1600 ESPN. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes from his back porch in the southwest side coming up in just a moment. Jaden with us here today with arts and crafts time going on.
Yeah, I'm making friendship bracelets.
You're hard at work over there.
I am. I mean, and it is for work, so it's fine.
It's okay.
And it's great.
So you're multitasking at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. I have complete faith in you and complete trust in you that you can do that and steady the ship.
Oh, yes. I can do it.
Never a doubt in my mind. Never a doubt in my mind. Thank you for being here today. Appreciate it. 319-366-1600. That is a text line. That's a phone line as well. 319-366-1600. Presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Each and every day here in the Gym Class, they are our presenting sponsor. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by visiting them at their website at dupaco.com. Cole Bear is going to join us. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit as we will talk UNI Panther football. Panthers getting their season ready to go a week from Saturday when they trek down to Ames to take on the Iowa State Cyclones in what should be a very interesting game. Always an interesting game when UNI takes on Iowa or Iowa State, and I think even made even more interesting this year by everything that is going on behind the scenes in Ames. So we will get to that coming up here with Cole in just a little bit. A little bit of football news for you and other things going on a Tuesday here. We'll get an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update as well, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. We will do that coming up in just a little bit. Again, that text line, 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. Same digits, 319-366-1600. Mark joins me on a Tuesday. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, Jaden. And good afternoon, everyone. By the way, my favorite color, Jaden, is green.
Okay, I'll remember that.
You got it?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Make a green one for Mark, whatever you're doing. Bracelets out there. Is it? That's a thing, right? That's a.
Yes. So the sister station, Z102.9, is going to have them at the market after dark. Okay. So I'm making them.
That's coming up Saturday, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Market after dark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, hey, have a good time.
I will.
I know a lot of people love that. So it'll be there'll be a lot of people out there. 319-366-1600. We talk about the weather, Mark. That seems to be the top topic going on in eastern Iowa and around the Midwest. Is the I don't know if they're the specific term, but I know they're calling it the heat dome, which is that just sounds very brutal and just not a whole lot of fun. But it is basically over us right here in good old East Central Iowa. What that means is that we've got basically no clouds and an absolute perfect condition and a perfect storm, if you will, for red hot temperatures. And that's what we have right now. If you're outside, do all the precautions, hydrate, drink plenty of water, et cetera, and take some breaks out there. And it's impacting basically everything, including the sports world.
Yeah, it is, as high school and college football and other sports are preparing for maybe their first game, maybe continuing early season play, especially in high school sports. You know, of course, you've got cross country and volleyball and golf, but football is the main focus in the fall. And with these temperatures, it runs the gamut in terms of what programs are doing, at least from what I've seen. I know Jefferson is conducting practices from 5 to 8 a.m. Yes.
You just got Jane's attention.
That's early.
Starting 5 a.m. you got to wake up. You got to get there early enough to get the pads on and whatnot. But at any rate, that's one direction that I know a lot of teams might be going. Reading a story of what's going on in Central Iowa, some of those teams taking the night route. I think Des Moines Roosevelt was practicing at 4:30. One of the teams was at 7 under the lights, which is kind of good preparation for game day if you have your own field. Jeff Kennedy and Wash don't have that luxury, but others do as well. So different approaches across the board, some events being postponed, and others adjusting start times. And I think you'd agree, Scott, you've been around high school sports a long time, and so have I. It seems like the first week or two of high school football seasons, we get hot, you know, maybe a hot streak on a Friday, and you got water breaks and whatnot. But really nothing like this.
No, we haven't anything like this. 93, I think, is the forecasted high for Friday coming up. So it's going to be not quite 101 or 103 what they're forecasting tomorrow and Thursday. Still going to be hot. There are going to be plenty of breaks, not only for the kids but for the officials as well. Just everybody out there. There are volleyball matches tonight. Some have been postponed. I know Lisbon's Invitational has been postponed. If there isn't air conditioning in your school, you better call and see if your volleyball match is going to be held tonight, because a pretty good chance it's not going to be. They're going to be pushing it back to another date. And then inevitably 6 weeks from now, Mark, we're going to be just saying, where, you know what, this wasn't so bad. Because inevitably the heaters will be on about 6 or 7 weeks from now. It always happens without fail.
Yeah, very true. But as teams prepare, trying to install a game plan, trying to decide on your depth charts and whatnot, this is a really important week for high school football. Save those teams that played in week zero. But the majority of the state is getting underway this week. And I think coaches will tell you this is a pretty important week. And adjustments are being made. And what can you do but make the best of it?
Yeah, very much so. Got to make the best of it. I know a lot of schools have said no practices between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Jared Collum, the football coach up at Northland, I know tweeted out a picture of, instead of Friday night lights, Tuesday morning lights, as they went the early morning route before the sun went up. A lot of schools are doing that if they have the ability to do so. And, yeah, just another thing to deal with, to have to deal with right now. And however you do it, best to do it certainly for the health of the kids. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. And we welcome you aboard here today as, we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Hope you're somewhere with air conditioning. That's the bottom line of everything right now. And take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. We'll get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update coming up here in just a little bit. College football, of course, we got week zero coming up this Saturday. And not, you know, you got Notre Dame playing overseas. Got a couple of games of, you know, some interest anyway. Nothing earth-shattering, certainly, as far as the Week Zero college football schedule is concerned. Like I mentioned, Navy, Notre Dame are going to be playing in the afternoon. It's going to be an NBC game. We're going to have Hawaii and Vanderbilt at night, ladies and gentlemen, at 6:30. 100 degrees is the forecasted temperature in Nashville, by the way, for that particular ball game. And at a half-finished stadium, they are refurbishing the home field for the Vanderbilt Commodores. The area behind the two end zones is not going to win any awards for good, you know, good housekeeping and landscaping and things like that. But they're going to make it through okay. UMass, New Mexico State's the ESPN Saturday night game. San Diego State is going to be playing Ohio. Ohio U is going to be playing Iowa State down the road. So imagine Cyclone fans might take a look at that. And USC will begin their final season in the Pac-10 by taking on a much-improved San Jose State team. So that's kind of the top games anyway coming up this Saturday. And again, we'll have that Hawaii-Vanderbilt game for you coming up from Westwood One this Saturday night. Should be an interesting game. Should be an interesting game. One of the more interesting ones coming up on Saturday. And then after that, we get into the regular season starting as far as college football. Of course, we'll have Iowa State and UNI for you. That's an 11 o'clock start on the Cyclone Network with John Walters and Eric Heft and a crew of thousands coming up a week from Saturday. And don't forget, our first Before the Boom podcast will come up as well next week. We'll have more information on that as we get a little bit closer. But you'll be able to get that all that information on our website at kgymradio.com. Shouldn't forget about telling you about the NFL knockout pool with I'm On Communications that we are going to have again this year. Your chance to win $300 of cold, hard cash. All you need to do is, when it comes up, go to kgymradio.com for the link to sign up. It is coming soon. It's not up there yet, but it's coming soon. And then you pick a team to win each week. It's very simple. And if you win, your team wins, you advance. The last one standing at the end of the season wins. Or if there are several people, they will split the pot of $300. So there you go. There you go. Thanks to I'm On Communications for helping us out with that here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. We'll get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard coming up in just a little bit. Mark, I got to talk a little baseball, though.
Yeah, but I want to insert one thing on high school football, and you would never mention it. You're not that kind of guy. But I would like to know if the North Booth and the Bob Brooks press box has air for you and John Haggerty.
That would be a big no. That will be a big no for Saturday night. Yeah, we'll be out there Saturday night. Kennedy and Dowling, really looking forward to that. Going to be a lot of fun for that one. Prairie Cedar Falls on Friday night, too. Looking forward to that one equally. And looking forward to being with John for the 20th year. Believe it or not, 20 years. John and I will be calling games. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Bravo.
Yeah. He's the best. He's the best out there. 319-366-1600. Baseball off the field. And Spencer was asking me before we got started in the crossover as far as the programs are concerned about what is rumors anyway. Everything starts with rumors about the latest as far as just absolutely dumb, off-the-wall stupidness of Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the Chicago White Sox. Apparently now is looking preliminarily into possibly either moving the White Sox to the suburbs or somewhere else other than where they are playing now. At 35th and Shields, or 34th and Shields, whichever way you want to look at it, along the Dan Ryan Expressway, possibly moving the White Sox out of downtown, or at least the south side of Chicago, near south side, moving them to the suburbs, or even worse, moving the team and moving the franchise out of Chicago. If you are a baseball aficionado or a White Sox fan, you know that this ploy was taken down the road about, oh gosh, how long has it been now? I put it pretty much out of the back of my mind. A couple decades ago, maybe even three, when there was all kinds of talk that the White Sox were going to move to the St. Pete, Tampa area. And that was before the Tampa Bay Rays were a team. Basically, it was Jerry Reinsdorf holding the White Sox and their fans hostage until a new park was built. That was at the end of the run. That's even been more than 25 years ago. Man alive, time flies. But he got his new ballpark out of it. He wants another new ballpark, and he's taking to the same old tactics once again. And White Sox fans have had it. They've had it with him. I think it's just the absolute cherry on top of the sundae, Mark, as far as just an awful, awful, awful season is concerned, than to have your owner start talking about relocation.
Moving to Chicago, the White Sox need to stay in Chicago. No two ways about it. You know, moving, building a new stadium somewhere. I mean, everybody's doing it. The Bears are doing it.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, your Bears are basically exploring the same avenue.
It's not so bad. I mean, the Metrodome was demolished, and along comes Target Field, and few people remember the Metrodome. It's a sign of progress. You know, Comiskey Park is iconic, much like Wrigley Field, Fenway Park, on and on, even though they new iterations here and there. But relocating the team, no, 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 no.
Nash, talk of Nashville, talk of Montreal. It's not going to be the Expos. It would not be the Expos. The Expos are in Washington, D.C. now, as the Washington Nationals. I'm with you. If the Sox get a new stadium and it's out in the, you know, west suburbs, whatever, so be it. Is it going to be different? Absolutely. Is it going to be still the Chicago White Sox? Yes, it's still going to be the Chicago White Sox. The Miami Dolphins aren't in downtown Miami anymore. They play out in the suburbs. There are endless, endless examples. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers, for heaven's sake, play basically in San Jose now. They're not in San Francisco proper anymore. I can see
Kansas City exploring a new stadium.
Absolutely.
I mean, at one time, that whole complex with Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium was the thing. It was very cool, right off the interstate, plenty of parking, and now Kansas City's getting in the act as well. Cyclone Tim says on the text line, yeah, but relocating to Florida would make those shorts the White Sox wore back in the day practical. LOL.
They wore them one game, and they were awful. Thank you, Bill Veeck, for that. Hey, I'd take Bill Veeck 300 times before I continue with this horrible, horribleness of Jerry Reinsdorf. 319-366-1600 here at 324. Bears are looking for perhaps a new stadium in the suburbs to get away from Soldier Field. White Sox now, at least that is one of the rumors out there. I'm not sure baseball. I would hope in the back of my mind, if push came to shove, that the American League would not allow the White Sox to move. But, hey, other franchises that you thought would never move have moved in the past. Nashville is probably going to get a baseball team in the near future. The next time there is expansion as far as MLB is concerned, might be the same thing as far as Montreal is concerned. You hear Portland at times. You hear, obviously, Las Vegas, although it's going to be hot there, like Iowa hot in Las Vegas. It's the oldest ploy in the book, Mark, to use new stadium and this leverage. And it's just getting old, and the second time around for this is just to the point of you just want to throw something at something.
Yeah, I actually don't take it too seriously, but you as a White Sox fan, I'm sure you do. And I mean, we're talking 2029, right? Is what Reinsdorf was saying. Obviously, that's 6 years away. A lot of things can change. I don't know if I'd like, not necessarily in terms of the White Sox, but a team relocating or expansion. Can the Major League Baseball support two more teams? I mean, already this past month, more people have gone to see a baseball game than any time in history, or at least recent history. From that standpoint, I think the game's pretty healthy. But whether you can support a team in Nashville and in Montreal, point of debate.
Yeah. Baseball is certainly on an uptick. It's on an uptick, and they've got some terrific races going on right now. I know Spencer chronicled those on the way in here today with how close things are as far as the National League is concerned. Some very good races in the American League, especially that National League wild card. That is really five teams within a game and a half of one another. That's terrific out there. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That's the phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600. Justin says it'd be just two more teams to add to the blackout list.
Yeah.
They're not blacking out the new Montreal Expos or the Nashville Blue Sox or whatever they're going to be called when Reinsdorf possibly moves them in 5 or 6 years. We'll see. All right, 327, Mark, going to throw it to you for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. It's brought to you by Emil's. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. They're open at 4 o'clock each day. And check them out online at emilshideaway.com.
All the action in Major League Baseball is tonight. We've got the Cubs at Detroit after the Cubs rallying to win that game last night. The Twins are at Milwaukee. Best of luck to Spencer and his team. He doesn't know this, but I actually kind of like Milwaukee. At any rate, Spencer texted me and said, that'll be a split. It's a two-game series. I'll take it, okay? St. Louis at Pittsburgh. Adam Wainwright going for number 199. Seattle at the White Sox after Chicago gave up two touchdowns last night. And Kansas City at Oakland. NFL news, Baker Mayfield has been named a starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucks, beating out Kyle Trask. Jackson Smith and Jigba, prized draft pick of the Seattle Seahawks, is undergoing wrist surgery today. His appearance for the season opener up in the air. Former Iowa kicker Caleb Shudak was cut today by the Tennessee Titans in favor of Michael Badgley. Badgley signed a contract with the Titans. He's a five-year veteran. And since Isaac is not here today, I can mention this story. The Women's World Cup soccer ratings plummeted. 2.1 million people watched a championship game compared to 14.2 million in 2019. Obvious reasons for that: lousy time in the U.S. with the competition in Australia and New Zealand, and the U.S. was not involved.
Yeah, that's the big one. The United States not involved, so not a lot of people getting up at the crack of dawn. Maybe football players on their way to practice were the only people. No, they didn't practice on Sunday. That were up watching Spain and England. We await Isaac's return. Not that, you know, we don't like you being here, Jaden. Okay? We have love having you here, but we want to see. People want to know that Isaac has his brand new soccer kit that, yeah. that he is going to debut coming up this week.
Yes. Yep. He's the soccer guy.
He's the soccer guy. You're the crafts person.
Do my crafts. It's fine. Patiently wait for wrestling season. I'll be okay.
There you go. Wrestling, we're gonna talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be good. You and Loretta talk about the wrestling?
We do.
Good.
We do. I love wrestling. It's my favorite.
It's great. All right. We'll take a break, come back. Colbert is going to join us, and we're going to talk UNI Panther football as UNI getting ready for the season opener at Jack Trice Stadium a week from Saturday against the Iowa State Cyclones. You can hear that game right here beginning at 11 o'clock on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And intense heat is expected for the next 3 days as excessive heat warnings are in effect. We're going to have temperatures climbing into the mid-90s today under sunny skies and heat index values from 100 to 110. Tonight will be mostly clear and still very warm with temperatures in the mid-70s. As we head into tomorrow, we'll be climbing up to a high around 100 with heat index values that could be as high as 115. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
Every piece of land has a story. The upshot's right there is with a John Deere 1 Series tractor they call Penny.
When your project comes up, you have to just jump in and get involved with it.
From front loader to backhoe, the upshot's have the tools to DIY all day long. Get a 1 Series tractor starting at $129 per month at your John Deere dealer today. For additional cost information, please call toll-free 855-633-2315.
Make the most of your land with a good, clean deal from City Tractor. Visit us at citytractor.com.
Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere.
Two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million. Make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts. Or join Circa Survivor, where you select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all.
$14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back on the Gym Class 333 here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. Do appreciate it. As we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to talk UNI football coming up here in just a couple of moments as Colbert is going to be joining us. And we'll talk about the Panthers as they get ready to open the season coming up at Jack Trice Stadium against the Iowa State Cyclones. 9113 on the text line says, I'm old enough to have seen games in new and old Comiskey. That is, I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there with you, man. But you've seen the Twins in three stadiums, Mark.
I did. My first game ever was at the old Met, and then the Metrodome and Target Field, of course, now. Hey, 9113, how about Miller Park in Milwaukee? My dad always used to say that was the most fun place to go. Never went.
You mean the county stadium, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, I would agree. You know what? That would have been a, you know what? Let's write that down for next summer for a Friday topic. Your favorite ballparks that you could have, that you had the most fun at. I would agree. I think I had the most fun at County Stadium in Milwaukee.
Why I said Miller Park, I have no idea.
Well, that's because that's what the new park was originally called before it became AmFam.
Now. County Stadium it is.
County Stadium it is. Great time there. Seeing the Brewers. Brewers, and I saw three or four different Brewer games. One of them against the Boston Red Sox, the final year that Carl Yastrzemski played for the Red Sox. That was pretty cool. That was
anyone
pretty
cool. Out there seen Milwaukee play as a National and an American League team?
There you go. Saw Mantle play at the old Met, says 91-13.
I did as well.
Yeah, 319-366-1600. I think we've gone down a rabbit hole right there. But we'll put that one on hold. We'll put that on hold coming up. And we're going to talk UNI football. Cole Bear does a great job covering the Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. UNI at Iowa State. That'll be coming up a week from Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium at 1 o'clock with the kickoff. Yes, a 1 o'clock kickoff. How refreshing is that, Cole? Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And a 1 o'clock kickoff is outstanding because, and not that anybody really cares, but in the print business with our early deadlines now, the 4 o'clock kick that you usually get at the Unidome makes for nothing but a high wire act on getting that to your editor on time. So, I mean, I think my blood pressure went down the moment I saw that it was a 1 o'clock kick.
Well, media day in the rearview mirror for Mark Farley and his Panthers. And I think that the watchword around Cedar Falls right now is excitement for this team. Based on what they did at the end of 2022, I thought they should have been in the playoffs. A lot of people thought they should have been. They were not. A little chip on their shoulder and a lot of components back for 23.
Yeah, excitement is a buzzword around town right now with this Panther football team, and understandably so. As you mentioned, missing the playoffs at 6-5 last year. Their record, you know, that's what kept them out. They lost one too many games. They had three losses by 3 points or less last season. However, by the end of the season, when you see them go on the run that they did, I think it was winning four out of their last five, their only loss by 3 points at home to number one South Dakota State, who went on to, of course, win the FCS championship. They did everything they could in their regular season finale at South Dakota, hanging 58 points on the Coyotes in that game. And like I mentioned before, really demonstrating that even though, you know, their record was going to keep them out of the 2014 FCS playoff field, that they were at that time at the end of last season, too little too late, but still definitely one of the 24 best teams in FCS. So given everything that comes back, given, you know, looking into the numbers a little deeper than just a surface level from last year, totally understandable why Coach Farley and so many people are excited about this team.
Yeah, it seems every year, Cole, we talk about the schedule. And we'll get into the personnel here in a little bit, but the schedule, non-conference coupled with the Missouri Valley Football Conference, you know, is tough every year. You want to avoid, if possible, an 0-3 start. You've got Iowa State, then a very, very good Weber State team at home, made the second round of the playoffs, and then a really bad Idaho State team on the road. So, what's your assessment of the non-conference?
I thought Mark Farley made a really great point at last Friday's media day when he said that all three of these non-conference games, their opponent is going to know more about them than they will know about their opponent. Iowa State, of course, has their new offensive coordinator, Nate Shielhouse. That's obviously a big question mark on how much Iowa State may change what it does offensively. You factor in Ryan Clanton and his, you know, how he will impact them, his institutional knowledge of how UNI is going to go about its business. Beyond that, Weber State, they're a team that, you know, they've made changes on their staff. They've got plenty of new personnel, despite the fact that they are a top 25 FCS team. So by nature of that, they're going to be able to know more about UNI because of everything that stayed the same there compared to Weber State. And Idaho State, they were bad last season, and as a result, they've got an entirely new coaching staff. The roster's seen a lot of turnover, and you guys know this. I mean, road wins are not a given in college football, no matter how poor of a season Idaho State may have had a season ago. They play in the Big Sky Conference, which may, you know, to draw an equivalent for the audience, it's like the Pac-12 of FCS football. So that's a very interesting dynamic that's you know, worth paying attention to. Now, that being said, I think you and I's got a really good chance at Iowa State in week one. I think that it's probably a coin flip game that favors them because they're the home team in that week two matchup against Weber State. And as tough as everything may be on the road, it's just an Idaho State team where if you're as good as you expect to be, as good as you should be, that's just a game that you got to go win. So I think 2-1 is where the bar should be set for this non-conference portion of the schedule.
Speaking of the Iowa State game, obviously everybody that follows football in this state knows what's going on in both the Iowa City and I think especially Ames. It's hit Iowa State as far as big-timers harder. There's not going to be a Hunter Deckers. There's going to be a new running back. There's going to be a new defensive lineman, a new offensive lineman. Things are really kind of very hush-hush in Ames right now. You and I historically has played Iowa and Iowa State very, very well in that first game. Like you said, I think you and I, a lot of people are looking at that as a possible, maybe a stage for an upset anyway. Still have to play well, though, when you go down to Ames on the road.
Yeah, and, you know, I started talking during you and I's spring practices that I thought the way this season set up, it was just one of those where it seemed like you and I had a better chance than usual of pulling off an upset at Iowa State. Now, that all being said, like you mentioned, you got to play well. And for as much as or as much that's going on with Iowa State, the one thing, even last year, given all of the Cyclone struggles that you could hang your hat on was John Haycock's defense, right? I mean, they were, I think, perhaps maybe the best rated defense in terms of points allowed per game in the Big 12 a season ago. So easier said than done. But yeah, guys, I mean, there's just so many factors here at play when you add in these Cyclones that have been lost due to the gambling investigation. You add in first year with a new offensive coordinator calling plays. You know, what does Nate Shieldhouse do if you and I goes right down the field and scores a touchdown? You and I's defense gets a stop on his first series. Is he off of his script? You know, there's going to be a script for probably the first 10 to 15 plays. What does that mean for Iowa State in a game like this? It's pretty interesting, I think, to talk about this game and all these dynamics at play. And if you set the dynamics aside, you and I is just a little bit more talent rich than they have been in the past, which is why, like I said before, I began talking about this as a possibility of an upset back during spring practices.
Cole, in a recent article for the Gazette, you talked about the three keys for this team, and they were the offensive line, defensive line, and the back seven on defense. And on the surface, that seems kind of ominous or troublesome. But between transfers and people that are healthy and whatnot, it doesn't mean these units are going to be bad, right?
No, it doesn't. You and I's offensive line last season was, you know, a result of the COVID eligibility. A lot of fifth and sixth year seniors that were on that offensive line. So by nature of that, the guys that are stepping up into those roles now, you're not talking about underclassmen. You're talking about guys that have been with the program 3, 4, or 5 years, or six for that matter. Starting center Chase Aarons, redshirted as a true freshman, and then has used his COVID year to come back for a sixth season. So it's veteran guys, but veterans that have played games but not consistently started, most of the guys who are going to be on this offensive line. So it's a matter of how will they stand up when they're being looked at to be wire-to-wire starters from the beginning to the end of the season. And obviously there's a reason why Matt Campbell went and hired Ryan Clanton, UNI's former offensive line coach. Not only could he develop guys, but he was recruiting talented guys as well. And so now Rick Nelson, longtime UNI offensive line coach, comes back. He's got his hands on these talented guys. So I think that although there's plenty of, not as familiar faces, maybe not new isn't the right word, but not as familiar faces on that O-line, that it's something that shouldn't give anybody too much concern. I know they feel good about the guys they have available to them there. I think the biggest thing among those three is probably the defensive line, because the lack of depth last season, it really affected, you saw it affect the back two levels of the defense. And the high snap counts took good players like Christian Boyd, Cordarius Bailey, Devin Rice from being good or, great pass rushers and made them just average because they were just on the field for too many snaps. And we all know this watching Iowa, you and I, or our favorite NFL team, you got to have guys that can rotate in there. Some guys become specialists on the defensive line in terms of down and distance. And they made a point to go out, get transfers with experience, with talent. And they, listening on Friday at Media Day, as many as 10 guys are mentioned that are in the mix for that defensive line rotation. I think among the three keys that I wrote about after Media Day, the defensive line is the one to watch the closest. Is this depth real? Are these transfers going to be able to produce at the level? It doesn't have to be great, but just produce at a level where they're valuable depth and not just warm bodies. As far as the back seven, the linebackers, the defensive backfield, the talent's there. They need to play. There could be some rough patches to start the season, but given Mark Farley's expertise with linebackers, all I've seen over the years covering his program, given everything I've seen from defensive coordinator Jeremiah Johnson, who's back, he's outstanding with defensive backs. Like I said, could be rough at the start, but I think you get into the middle of the season, they'll have that figured out. So defensive line's the one of those three I would keep the most keen eye on.
Cole Bear joining us 3:47 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here in KGYM. Shame on us. We've gone this long and we have not talked about Theo Day, who was on fire last year at the end of the year for Mark Farley and the Panthers. Comes in as one of the top quarterbacks, not only in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, but I think he can make a pretty good case, one of the top quarterbacks in all of FCS football. And good to have him under center going into the campaign.
Yeah, there's not too many programs in the country, I don't think, to prove your point there, that would look at the tape he put up last season and say we would not take that guy as our starter here in week one. Theo was outstanding a season ago, threw for over 280 yards a game. He also, from time to time, can make some plays with his feet. I was actually rewatching their South Dakota State loss this past weekend, and he threw two interceptions in that game, and both of them deflected off his wide receiver's hands. And he threw six interceptions all of last season. So you dig in, and the numbers are even a little better than they look on paper, which is, quite ridiculous. Factor in as well, last year was his first in offensive coordinator Bodie Reeder's system. And obviously that proved to be a great fit. But, all of us have been covering football long enough, guys, that, we hear – at any level of football, coaches talk about year two and what that means for an offense and the amount of growth that can happen in year two of an offense. So you've got other things working in the Panthers' favor, along with the fact that Theo Day just flat out proved he's one of the best quarterbacks, one of the best throwers of the football in all of college football a season ago. I mean, just by nature of that, it's something that, that gap that exists, obviously exists between South Dakota State, North Dakota State, and pretty much the rest of FCS football. Theo Day is a massive reason why UNI's gap is shrunk between where they are and where NDSU and SDSU typically sit this season. It gives them, I would say, a puncher's chance to kind of upset that apple cart.
Most folks call predict UNI third in the league. Agree or disagree?
That's where I had them. That's where I voted them in the preseason poll. And I think this goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, just how well the Panthers were playing at the end of the 2022 season and what Theo Day was routinely doing to opponents. You know, you and I played a lot of exciting football, nail-biting football last year, because when its defense was struggling, Theo Day was the reason that they were staying in games. And, you know, you're not going to put the Panthers, of course, ahead of South Dakota State, the defending champions, or North Dakota State, who I think is maybe even a little down by their standards this season. Then again, not quite there to put Youngstown State or Southern Illinois, for example, ahead of the Panthers, because you and I was able to beat a Southern Illinois in Carbondale, for example, a season ago. So I that's where I thought they would be. That's why I put them three on my preseason list. So it all shook out for the most part how I thought it would.
How big of a season is this? Missing the playoffs last year. It's been a while since you and I has had a good run in the FCS playoffs. Not that Mark Farley is on a hot seat or going anywhere or anything like that, but
right.
With you know, the expectations higher this year, I mean, how big a season is this for you and I football?
I think that's a great question because it's interesting, like you explain. Not like Mark Farley is going to go anywhere if you and I does go 6-5 and barely miss the playoffs. I would imagine in that scenario, you know, knock on wood for the Panther fans out there, that would probably involve an injury to the quarterback. But if they stay relatively healthy, I've been covering them for quite some time, basically a decade now. I'm under the impression they go 8-3 in the regular season if they stay healthy. You know, a little bit better than that 6-7 win pocket that a lot of Mark Farley's teams have been in. And at that point, you know, you get into the playoffs, get into the tournament, and with Theo Day throwing the ball around and a defense at that point that's got 11 games under its belt with its old defensive coordinator back, who everybody continues to say great things about and how great it is that he is back, I think that, you know, right behind North Dakota State, South Dakota State, and whoever wins the Big Sky, be it Weber State, maybe Sacramento State, you and I is probably going to be in that 3-5 range, or could be well into that 3-5 range in terms of how Vegas would put it, how they would do their odds on that 2014 FCS playoff field. It is a big season, and I think that you can kind of feel it around here that the anticipation's a little higher than usual.
Agree. And just say better have 7 under your belt before the season finale against North Dakota State when the Bison come into the dome. That would be big before that. South Dakota State on the road and North Dakota State this year for you and I. No favors as far as the schedule is concerned. Cole, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work with the Gazette and everything you do, and we'll talk down the road.
Thanks, guys. Great to talk.
You bet. Cole Bear covers the UNI Panthers for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this here in the Gym Class on KGYM.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means...
Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match. Only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
It's Wrangler season out there. T-shirt days, denim jacket nights. A pair of broken-in jeans you could live in. Open roads, endless horizons, no destinations. This is when adventure starts calling. And you need to be ready in jeans that are made for the unpredictable journey that we call life. Wrangler, for the ride of life. Shop our newest styles today at Wrangler.com.
Todd Bromelkamp Show coming your way next from 4 until 6, 3:55 as we close up shop here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Scott Dochterman joins us coming up tomorrow as we will look back at Media Day, look ahead to Iowa's opener against Utah State. Kirk Ferentz is going to talk with the media coming up tomorrow as well. So Scott Dochterman will join us on Wednesday. Our final installment, Mark, of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class comes up on Thursday, and then on Friday, we get ready for week zero of the college football season and week one of the high school football season. Jeff Linder from the Gazette is going to join us as well. So a lot of football coming up. That Iowa State-UNI game is going to be so interesting. Yeah, we don't know a lot about Iowa State, but, you know, is it going to be Rocco Becht? Is it going to be J.J. Cole? You know, what's the running situation going to look like? What's the offense going to look like? They are playing it close to the vest for obvious reasons. And, boy, that's just that's going to be a fun one in Ames a week from Saturday.
Super interesting game, and you can hear it right here on KGYM. And Scott just coming out, and I haven't been able to confirm this, so I won't report anything but some gambling news out of the Iowa wrestling program. Cannot confirm whether this is truth or bogus, what have you. Perhaps stay tuned in the next couple hours to the Todd Bromelkamp Show.
Ah, so it's continuing to fall out then.
Maybe. I don't know. Could be a troll job. That's why you got to be careful about Twitter.
You do. You do. But there are names out there. And, yeah, we will see how it plays out. Nothing as far as Iowa or Iowa State and their punishments are concerned. Remember Beth Getz last week talked about there could be some news in the next few days as far as the football side of things. Have not seen or read anything about that. But as you talked about, student manager yesterday, today, at least reports anyway, that some wrestlers are involved, which we knew going in, but now some names being bantered about. More on that with Todd coming up between 4 and 6 here at KGYM. And as I mentioned, Scott Dochterman will join us coming up tomorrow. Jane, thanks. Mark, have a good night, and we'll talk to everybody coming up tomorrow.
We'll do. Talk then.
You've been listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
AutoZone is more than a parts store. It's where we help you solve problems like,
sorry I'm late, my battery died.
And,